in the name of Jesus, we receive revelation that is found in the written word. Our eyes this evening behold Jesus as he sees us in himself. As regards learning from scriptures concerning the new songs, we are well taught to sing rightly and bring praise to your name. Hallelujah. Praise God. So, I did something. We are discussing singing a new song, right? Or a new song. So this is the second session. This is actually the second section. And something I did last section, which is last week, was that I went over the teaching because of time, right? I just run through the teaching. I just did a cherry picking of everything I'm teaching within the teaching. Hallelujah. Amen. So if you understand what I did, I wasn't going into details. I'm just picking out points for you to see. Hallelujah. Because of time. So tonight, we're going to look at some things in details. Here we go. Still a bit around what we saw last week. Psalm 40, verse 3. Psalm 40, verse 3. So what it says? Hallelujah. It says, and he has put a new song in my mouth. Hallelujah. He has put a new song in my mouth. Even praise unto our God. Many shall see and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Isn't that? Hallelujah. Then he has put a new song in my mouth. Glory to God. Psalms 96. Psalms 96 verse 1. Psalms 96 verse 1 says, sing a new song. Right? Is that what you have? No, it says, oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Hallelujah. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. It says, sing unto the Lord all the earth. Did you see that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look at verse 2. It says, sing unto the Lord. Bless his name. It says, show forth his salvation from day to day. And I said, we show forth the salvation of our God in our song. Right? Was that what I said to us last week? Hallelujah. Isaiah 42, quickly. Isaiah 42, verses 10. Look at what it says here. It says, sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise from the ends of the earth, the ye that go down to the sea, and all that is therein. He said, the eyes and the inhabitants thereof. Sing unto the Lord. Glory to God. He says, sing unto the Lord. So, what we said last week was, we have an instruction to sing a new song. We have an instruction in scripture to sing a new song. A new song? So we began asking ourselves the question, when it says a new song, what does it mean? Right? What does it mean? And I said, I heard from a man of God that I respect so much and I still do. Hallelujah, I still do. He said something along the certain line, that we should stop singing old songs. And what he referred to as old songs was songs like we just sang. Were you not blessed by the song we sang? When he sees me again. So he looked at, he called new songs, recent songs. And he said old song will be those old songs we used to sing. He said we shouldn't sing old songs again. And we start singing new songs. Actually, what does it mean? When it says new song, what really does it mean? Is it referring to recent songs? You see that? Is it referring to recent songs? And old songs not be the old song, old time religion. What does it mean? So we are looking at that. What is the meaning of new song? It's scripture. And we said, for you to understand that, we said Christianity is a what? Knowledge-based faith. How important it is to know the use of words. So Christianity is a knowledge-based faith. That was what I said last week. Hallelujah. That our worship of God is to the degree of our knowledge of Him. God above your knowledge of him. Hallelujah. In Philemon 4 to 6. Philemon 4 to 6. Quickly. Read your Bible. Philemon 4 to 6. Hallelujah. He says, you need to be fast now. He said, I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayer. Say, hearing of your love and faith, which thou hast towards Jesus, the Lord Jesus, and towards all the saints, that the communication of your faith, the communication of your faith, might become effectual, operative, effective. Say, by the acknowledging and epignosis there, of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Watch what he said. He said that the communication of your faith, what does he convey? His faith, his was love work in the previous verse. He said it will become operative, but it will become much more effective. How? Knowledge. What knowledge? It's not knowledge about vasting, but specific knowledge of what you have in Christ. So the knowledge there is the knowledge about Christ. It's specific knowledge. Hallelujah. Yeah, something else is Colossians. Colossians chapter 1 verse 9. In Colossians 1 verse 9. Look at Colossians 1 9 quickly. It says, say, for this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye may be filled with all knowledge of his will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. You see that? That ye may walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Hallelujah. So what's the knowledge there is specific. A name of God. Is that specific knowledge? So Paul's prayer is regarding knowledge, right? Hallelujah. And the prayer shows us that our work is to the degree of our knowledge of God. So that means you can't serve God above your knowledge of him. Hope you're following. Hallelujah. You find it mentioned in Philippians chapter 1 verse 9. He says the same thing there. He said, and this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. Did you see that? He said, being filled with the fruit of righteousness, which are by Christ Jesus unto glory and praise of God. Specific knowledge. That, look at that verse, verse 10. Look at that verse 9. Say, pray that your love may abound more and more in knowledge. Listen, that means your love work is to the degree of knowledge. Degree of knowledge. You have to see that clearly. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, Paul's prayer is that of knowledge, because the Christian faith is a knowledge-based faith. Hallelujah. We also have instructions in scriptures to grow in knowledge. We saw that last time. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 18. 2 Peter 3, 18. It says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It says, grow in grace. It's an instruction to grow in grace. And what does it call grace? Knowledge. So we have an instruction to grow in knowledge. An instruction in scripture to grow in knowledge. Why would this become very vital? Paul shows us that it is God's desire. 1 Timothy chapter number 4. I mean 1 Timothy chapter, yeah? 1 Timothy quickly, chapter number 4. 1 Timothy 4. Look at it, from verses. Sorry, 1 Timothy 2, sorry. 1 Timothy 2. It says, God's desire, yes? It says, look at verse 3. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men be saved and to come to the knowledge. So it's God's desire that we grow in knowledge.
Matthew 28, verse 20. Matthew 28, he says, go make disciples from verses 18. That says, verse 20, how? He says, teaching them to observe all what I commanded you. He says, and lo, I am with you always, even to the ends of the age. Amen. So it's God's desire that we grow in knowledge. It's God's desire. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God's desire. So knowledge is very vital in Christian faith. It's very vital. Very, very vital. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So let's go over some things again. Very vital. So let's go over some things. That's one. So we said, when you hear salvation, right? Or when you talk about salvation and what God achieved in salvation, what do we say we have at the background? What do we say we have at the background? Israel, the Exodus. That is the background. That is the background that points to salvation. Hallelujah. Israel, the Exodus, we also have Egypt, right? We have Pharaoh. We have the Red Sea. Hallelujah. So the Red Sea, which is water, and Paul will say in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 that they were baptized into Moses. Now when they were baptized into Moses, that is the Red Sea. Hallelujah. So the water is used for a new beginning, I've thought of that. Hallelujah. Water is used for a new beginning. So in Numbers 14, when God now told them that they were going to be destroyed into the wilderness and he was going to take a new generation into the land of Canaan, they will have to pass through again, they will have to pass through Jordan. Jordan again will be where? Jordan again will be where? A new beginning, a new beginning again. Call it a renewed beginning. Why? Because the nation that went into Canaan was not the nation that came out of Israel. Amen? So therefore, we said, when you talk about Egypt in the background, Egypt will signify exile. Right? Come on. We didn't signify exile. Egypt will be exile. So, an exile there will be what? With an exile will be unbelief. Unbelief. Death. But let's put this unbelief to the children of Israel. Exile, Egypt, unbelief, darkness. You see that? So they will have that journey into exile. So the new generation, there was not the one that witnessed Egypt, but they were going to get into Canaan, they will also have to have an exile. A wilderness experience. Hope you're following me. That will be unbelief that they have seen. It's going to be exile again. So therefore, where will now be the new beginning? What will be the new beginning? Outside Jordan. And what do we have outside Jordan? After Jordan, what do we have? Let's see who remembers that teaching. And we should have crossed Jordan. What city did they find themselves in? Eh? Eh?
Wow, this is interesting.
Go and get down this message. I will not say. Go and listen. You have to learn to listen to messages. So go back. I have taught you that. Amen. Amen. So there's a new beginning. A restart again. Amen. So they will have that exam. Jesus, I told you, also have his exam. Hallelujah. But Jesus' exam, that was on the cross, Jesus' exam was in unbelief. Because if his exam was unbelief, then he can't be the Savior. Okay, but this exile is going to be death. Death for the unbelief of men. That's going to take the place of man. So this exile is going to be the result of man's unbelief, which is death. Okay, it'll be death. So Jesus will have his, put it this way, his wilderness experience. Put it this way, his Egypt. So okay, follow me. His Exodus. He will be death. Hope you are with me. Hallelujah. Amen. So, we saw all that last week. So let's go for that. Amen. Amen. Glory, 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 glory.
So let's see.
So since we've seen the background movie Egypt, and what happened in Egypt, they came out of Egypt. Paul put it this way in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I mean Colossians 1:13. Colossians 1:13. Oh yeah. It says, 13, who have delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us to the kingdom of his dear son. He has delivered us. So what happened to them from Egypt is a deliverance. Amen. It's God's deliverance. Now, the Bible says deliverance is not what people have, what you have today. So we say, I'm going to deliverance ministry. No. Where is it? What they are doing? Most times they feel go, fire. They think that is deliverance. No. Deliverance is actually salvation. Amen. I taught us last believers convention that deliverance is actually you are rescued. Amen. Deliverance is to be rescued. It's not sending something away, it's you being rescued to be delivered. I mean, to the one who delivered you is a rescue. Is from that word in the Greek, Romai, R-H-U-O-M-A-I, Romai. It's from another word, what you call Rio, R-H-E-O. It's used for to flow out. You'll find it in John 7:38, when it says, out of his belly shall flow. This is to flow, to come out. So, Rio-Y is not used for a stain or a casting off. It's actually used for deliverance. It's actually a receiving. Listen to that. Unto oneself. Rio-Y. I tell you what it means, Rio-Y.
I have it here.
It means to rescue to oneself. To rescue to oneself. In Matthew 6:13, Jesus says, when he taught them about prayer, he's teaching about prayer, he says, deliver us from evil. You see that? So you are delivered from evil. You see that? Amen. So salvation is delivered from evil. So when we put that side by side Exodus experience, what will be evil? Egypt. Did you hear that? Yeah. What will be evil? Pharaoh. Deliver us from evil. For thou is the kingdom. We're going to get there. Thou is the kingdom. Power and glory. Look at that verse to find our word.
I'm not running commentary on that because some people have that as a silence in women's class. But I'm just showing you something.
Amen. Amen. In Luke 1:74, the son of Zechariah.
Look at Luke 1:74. Zechariah's son. It says that he who grants now this is a prophecy by Zechariah, and it was a prophecy of the Lord. He says that he will grant us that we being delivered out of the hand of our enemies might serve him without fear. Did you see that?
So deliverance is to be delivered from the hands of who? The enemy. Amen. To be delivered from the hands of the enemy. So you are delivered to serve. So deliverance is you are delivered from the enemy, Egypt, Pharaoh, to serve God. So when he has delivered to serve God, what is that the background again? Apart from Moses and Egypt, what is the background? Exodus. I need you to do a cross reference in your Bible quickly. That's verse 74. When you proceed to serve the Lord, put there Exodus chapter 3 verse 12. We saw it last week. Open your Bible to Exodus 3 12. You can draw that cross reference there. Amen. It helps you in your study. Exodus 3 12.
So we can say Zechariah was prophesying from Moses.
Look at Exodus 3:12. It says, and he said, certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the children of Egypt, brought forth the people out of Egypt. Is that salvation? Is that deliverance? Is that from the enemy? Ye shall serve God upon this mountain. Is that the same thing that Zechariah is talking about? Is that the same thing? You serve him.
Oh, what we are saying is,
so you can draw that first reference in your Bible. You put in your Bible Exodus 3:12. Verify that in your Bible.
It is your Bible.
Oh, I don't want to write in my Bible. I don't understand. It's your Bible.
There's something about your Bible. Amen. Your Bible. You just cross-reference.
See,
here's
your study.
Hallelujah. Go on.
Sometimes I take on study that I forgot what I came down. But when I get to my Bible, I look at cross-reference myself.
A lot. I do that a lot. But I cross-reference here, I go to where that Exodus 3:12, and I'll cross-reference it to Luke 1:75, and I'll put Zechariah's prophecy. Very vital. Let's do that. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. I believe in the coming days and months and months we'll get to do more of that in our Bible. Hallelujah. As we learn to read the Bible together. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Something else you need to do that. Luke 4:18. Yeah. How Jesus used the word deliverance. Luke 4:18. I said this last week, but on the social media. Say, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Is that? He has anointed me to do what? Preach the gospel to the poor. What is it? He said, He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance. Remember that? So, deliverance is a message. Now, when we use the word deliverance here, it is that word in the Greek, aphesis. Forgiveness. So deliverance is not an action, but it's called a message.
Amen.
It's not. No. Deliverance is a message. It's a message of God's forgiveness. Hope you're following me. So when you hear forgiveness of sins, it is deliverance. Hope you're following me. And it's a message. Glory to God.
Just as by the way.
When they were delivered out of Egypt, come on, they were delivered to where? Into a land, right? Were they delivered into a land? Hallelujah. So where is that land? The wilderness? Is that the wilderness? Right?
Right?
The wilderness?
Then Canaan? Right?
Are you following me? They were delivered into a land, the wilderness, then Canaan. Is that it? Hallelujah. So when you use it,
take a look at this.
When you use the word, when you use it, wilderness, then wilderness is now Canaan. It shows you something. It shows you that the land is not going to be a physical land. So that is why even in Canaan, they were not able to Canaan. They were taking no captivity, they jumped back, they went. So all those instability was to show you the land is not a physical land. Hallelujah. But a spiritual one. Hallelujah. Amen. So the land is God Himself. We've done that for you. Hallelujah. The land is God Himself. The land is the Spirit. The land is the Spirit. The land is the Spirit. The land. Delivered into the land. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In Hebrews chapter 2, look at how the writer, Hebrews 2, verse 24, look at how he puts it. Say, you are coming to Mount Zion. Say, the city of the living God. That is the deliverance. You are come into. So that deliverance from Egypt into the land is called Mount Zion. It's called the city of the living God. You see that? It's called the heavenly Jerusalem. It's called the gathering of just men now made perfect. Hope you are following me. Hallelujah. So is the land, is God, is the Spirit.
Glory, glory, glory. Is that straight? Is that right?
So let's see something again.
So we are delivered into the land. Hallelujah. We are, amen. We are delivered from darkness into the light. Colossians will call it into the kingdom of his son. This is that, so we are delivered into his kingdom. We are delivered into light. Amen. What are following me? His kingdom. Light. The spirit, God. Glory to God. Let's see something. So, in this deliverance, how are we described? How are we described in this deliverance?
1 Corinthians chapter number 6, verse 11.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How are we describing this deliverance? 1 Corinthians 6. Are you there? Okay, I'll read verse 11. Is it? And such were some of you. That will look at verses 9 into 10. They're describing the unrighteous. Right? The unrighteous. He called them adulterers.
Now, he says, and such were some of you. Do you hear that?
Some of you. Say, but ye are washed. So, in the deliverance, we are washed. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Can you say, I'm delivered, washed?
I'm delivered, washed.
I'm delivered, sanctified.
I'm delivered, sanctified.
Hallelujah. I'm delivered, justified.
I'm delivered.
In the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. Yes, he said, we are delivered, sanctified. We are delivered, washed, sanctified, justified in the Lord. Watch that. Mark that word, in the Lord. Hallelujah. In the name of the Lord. And by the Spirit of our God. So that means the land is what? Sanctification. The land is being justified. When the land means we are justified, we are sanctified, we are washed. Hallelujah.
Because the land is the Spirit.
Hope you're following me. Hope you're following me. Glory to God. Hallelujah. It is, we are holy. We are delivered holy. Then you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. So that means, in this deliverance, we have, I want to put it that, we have a new identity. We have a new identity in the deliverance. Mark that word, new identity. My wife and your identity. Remember, he is crossing the Red Sea. Hallelujah. We're baptized. Look at how Paul puts it. They were baptized into Moses. Yeah? Crossing the Red Sea will mean a new beginning. Now we said the water shows a new beginning. Right? Right? A new beginning. So, and I said to us, miracles point to the miracle in the gospel. That was why when Naaman got to Elisha, the prophet, who is Elisha, is a man of God. He's a prophet, and the prophet is not a teacher. So when he tells us to go watch in Jordan, look at it. It's a miracle physically that happened, but it is the message of the gospel. Hallelujah. That was why when Naaman was done, he asked that he goes with the son that is from the place. Why did he ask for the son? That is worship. It's an act of worship. That is, I'm going back to Syria to worship the living God. So that means what transpired between Naaman and the prophet was pointing to redemption. He sent him back to Jordan. Jordan means a new beginning. You see that? Jordan means well, a new beginning. He goes back to Jordan. Jordan is, remember, when he's in Jordan, the man goes back to Joshua. They cross Jordan, the water. He goes back to the water, a new beginning. And he tells him to wash seven times. The seventh time, he got saved. Why seven times?
to show that that he's talking is referring to the Lord's Day. That is to say, in the new beginning, what you have is God the Lord's Day, the seventh day, the Sabbath. Hallelujah. Jesus shows on this thing, and John shows on this thing, he's teaching them about God, God's repentance, what God is going to do, God's baptism, and he goes to Jordan again. Why does he go to Jordan? What that means, new beginning, he goes back to Jordan to show them there is going to be a new beginning in the Messiah. What are you following me? Amen. It's going to be a new beginning in the Messiah. Okay, so he goes back to Jordan. Glory, glory, glory. I want to someone say, oh, baptism, I don't know, if you want to be baptized, you do right. So he goes back to Jordan. Go look for Jordan. And take note, as they are looking for Jordan, the man that was baptized them in Jordan was looking for the Messiah.
Glory to God.
So that means what I'm baptizing is just a pointer. To show you that there's going to be a new beginning in the Messiah. Okay, follow me.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So that means the deliverance shows us a new beginning. New identity, yes, a new start.
The children of Israel are not going to start anew outside Egypt. Is it that? Outside the wilderness. Is a new start,
a new beginning. Now, a new beginning in the land, right? So, what does he point to? A new beginning in the Lord, right?
A new, what is the land? The Spirit, the Lord, right? So, a new beginning in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Amen? Amen? Can you see why Paul, in Galatians, would not say, who has bewitched you, O Galatians? There haven't begun in the Spirit. Are you not even justified by the flesh? Amen. If they haven't begun in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Haven't begun, so it is there. Haven't begun in the Spirit. What is it taking you to?
The new man.
This is that? It's taking you to that deliverance. That salvation fact.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
That is the salvation fact. Happen because in the Spirit. Salvation. Deliverance. Glory to God.
Glory to God. Amen. So let's see this. So the new beginning will be in the Spirit, in God. Hallelujah. Amen.
Remember, everything we have in the background will be what? Egypt. Right? Egypt.
Red Sea. Egypt, Red Sea, Pharaoh, and the chariots. Right? Hallelujah. Make sure you see that. So, glory to God. Hallelujah. So that means there's a new beginning, right? Would that be a new nation?
Oh yes. A new nation after Egypt. How do you say that? A new nation has begun. Outside
you. A new nation. The writers of the synoptic and epistles, let's look at the synoptic, we'll call it, look at how Jesus called it in John 3:3.
It is, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And was referring to that same experience. The out of Egypt experience, the Exodus experience. Except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom. Which kingdom? The new kingdom. Okay, follow me. Where is the kingdom? The Spirit. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Is the new kingdom the new nation? Oh, yes. Amen. So except the man be born again, he's not explaining except the man be born of water. Water, Jordan, water, Red Sea, water, Spirit, water, new beginning. Amen?
He
cannot enter into the kingdom of God. You need to see that all together. You will get it all together. Amen?
So what Jesus is saying, there is a new beginning in the Spirit.
Glory to God.
Scripture
explains. I tell someone, if you miss
Genesis, the message in Genesis and Exodus, you miss a very major background of Bible study. A major background. Just over the phone 2 years ago.
Ask him a question, I'm going to ask pastors.
But let me just show you, because I ask you a question. You know something like, if not for Eve,
I wish I screenshot that. Very funny. And I told them, I'm going to play the devil's advocate here. Amen. I told them, I'm going to play the devil's advocate. It was something like, if not for Eve, Adam would have eaten the forbidden fruit. How about that? Forever. The guy at the end said, more grace. I was just laughing. This guy kind of more grace. Well, more grace. Okay, guess I'll say this. Okay, I said, don't like Adam. Look at what I said. Don't like Adam. Let what God gives to you. I mean, don't like Adam. Let what God gives to you take you away from him. Don't choose things and blessings over God. Eve wasn't worth it. Eve wasn't worth it. God gave his holiday, he wasn't worth it.
And I said, listen, I want to play devil's advocate. I'm not patriotic. I thought I said you are patriotic. I want to play penny.
And I asked, what did Eve do? You know that gave Adam for people are going to call me.
He gave Adam for people. What did he do? I want to ask you, Pastor, what did Eve do? What is this sin? I thought from that place, I thought all the counsel of God would come to an hour to think of it. All true. When we got everybody, yeah. One day though, I was on my life.
The guy in his Bible, don't read his Bible, the Bible and his Bible.
Yeah.
1 hour. I was on my Bible. When was I that day? I guess I was...
When was that? I was looking this call.
Those are questions I have to answer years back.
As far back as time, I teach you 28-29. As far back as time.
It took us months. Yes, it took us months. But, what do we have to answer? Is it? It's just the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. I wonder why people do that. But I'm going and telling you what I want you to know. You don't go and believe.
Let's go. I did that for one sister. She went to church today. She put something on and I just came at her. I said, no, what about Jesus? She was, that day I played my tracker. That can play any role. So that day she was telling me. But then I see that when I see that you are becoming too to one side, I'm sure. I don't say no. And then she wrote, me too, I go love. Before she asked me, she went to the board, I said, no, put it back. But like, no, I said, put it back. I'm your pastor, I just taught you. So if someone asked, why did you remove it? Then my pastor asked me to remove it. No, put it back. So when someone asked, you now repeat what I thought. Put it back. Because if you just let them just run away like that, good, it's good to just correct. But most times then, see, if we don't make mistakes sometimes,
You know, you're not sure you're going to put on that biscuit. You have to check it.
Yeah,
well, you know, Pastor will not say, oh, Papa, check it in 72. Oh, fine, well, that is a sign of sanity that you have in your life. It shows you have sanity in your life.
Amen.
That is the rule of your heart.
Amen.
The
right
moment,
my pastor will
be in that
fast.
Can you cry? Hey, my pastor, please. Let's just go ahead. So where were we? The whole counsel of God, right? Genesis. So you were able to, if you miss out Genesis and Exodus, major foundation. I want to leave that Genesis and Exodus. Because if you ask me, I will tell you, even the Leviticus, Numbers and Deuteronomy are doctrinal.
Oh yes.
Are doctrinal. So if you miss, I put it like this, as for the shepherd, but if you miss out the five books of Moses, if you don't have a full, comprehensive grasp of Moses, that is the foundation of scripture.
Amen.
But when you have to get into that, don't miss it.
Hallelujah.
Don't miss it.
Glory to God.
Amen. So when Jesus says, except a man be born again, the five man is the same Exodus. He cannot see the kingdom of God. He explains it as water. New beginning. So that means
to be born again is to begin in the spirit.
That's what it means. So he uses the word born again. Anodengenaho. That's the word. Born again. Anodengenaho. A-N-O-C-H-E-N. Genaho. G-E-N-E-A-O. Anodengenaho. It means to be born anew. To be born anew is called new birth. That's what it means. Except a man who has the new birth, he cannot see the kingdom of God. New birth. Paul will put it this way, 2 Corinthians 5, 17. If any man be in Christ, go to 2 Corinthians 5, 17 everyone. I need you to see me there because this is what we are dwelling on tonight. 2 Corinthians 5, 17. Amen. 2 Corinthians 5:17. It says there, it says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. If any man be in Christ, he calls him a new creation. Amen. Amen. So that means another word for salvation is a new beginning. Another word for salvation is a new beginning. A new start. A new start in the land, right? A new start in Christ. So if any man be in Christ, you see that? A new start in Christ, he is a new creation. Amen? A new creation. He is a new creation. If anyone is in Christ, that is a new beginning. That is a new start. So where is he? In Christ. Amen. Master was in Christ. He'll come alive shortly. Glory to God. So let's take a few from there. He uses the word new. New. That is a Greek word, kainos. K-A-I-N-O-S. Kainos. It's from the Hebrew word kadash. C-H-A-D-A-S-H. Kadash. C-H-A-D-A-S-H, the Hebrew word Kadash. Kadash is used for a start. A start. Sometimes, not necessarily a start from nothing. Not a start sometimes, not a start from nothing. It's like a restart. Let's see where it's used. In Leviticus 26, Exodus 1 verse 8, quickly. Let's watch that. Exodus 1 verse 8. Okay. We have a lot of scriptures to use tonight. Oh, my time is seriously off, but let's see what we can do. Exodus 1:8. I'm just getting into my topic. Exodus 1:8. It says, and there rose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. He called it a new king. That was Kadash. A new king that, so when you say new king, it's showing that the king there is not just a start from nothing. There was a king before. Do you see that? There was a king before. A new king. You find it again in Leviticus 26:10. Leviticus 26:10. Leviticus 23:16. Get that down. Leviticus 26:10. 23:16, Numbers 28:26. Verses 23:16, Numbers 28:26.
It has a verb. The same pronunciation, the same spelling, a bit kadash.
Well, it's not my language, so kadash kadash. Amen. The gap in the other one that is a verb is not that heavy. So there is no syllable there. Maybe you can call it, well, kadash. Kadash kadash. The same spelling though. Hallelujah. It's a verb. They have a verb. The verb, you find it in 1 Samuel 11:14. 1 Samuel, remember the verb explains what we have earlier on. 1 Samuel 11 verse 14. Look at what it says. It says, then Samuel said to the people, come, let us go to Gilgal and renew the kingdom there. That's the word renew. And renew the kingdom there. That's what renew. In 2 Chronicles 15 verse 8, 15 verse 8 and 9, it is used for renew. In 2 Chronicles 24, 4, it is used for to repair. To repair. I'm just giving you how it's used. To repair. You find it also in 2 Chronicles 24, 12. Job 10:17. 2 Chronicles 24:12, Job 10:17, Psalms 51 verse 10, Psalms 103 verse 5, Psalms 104 verse 30, Isaiah 61:4, Lamentations 5:21. We're supposed to read all this, but do that at home. Hallelujah. Do that at home. So kadash, don't miss this. If you miss anything, don't miss this. Kadash is used for how you make something brand new. How you make something brand new again. It means to renew. Better than it was before. Better than it was before. Sometimes it's used in contrast to what is former, what is old. Sometimes used in contrast to what is former, what is old. Not necessarily recreating the old. Please take this. This is more of very vital. I'll take it again. Sometimes used in contrast to what is former or old. Not necessarily recreating the old, but taking away from the old to show a speciality. Peculiarity. It's using contrast, but not necessarily recreating the old, but actually taking it away from the old to show a peculiarity. So Egypt, when it says, if any man be in Christ, all things are passed away, we're going to see that. So Egypt will be the flesh they are taking from into the land of the spirit. Did you see that? So it's not the flesh being recreated. No. They are taking away from Egypt into the land. So it's using contrast for Egypt, but not recreating Egypt, but taking away from Egypt. Did you see that? Amen. To have a restart away from Egypt. So that means the land, right? Or put it this way, Jordan was to launch them into a restart, a new beginning away from Egypt. Did you see that? So Egypt will be old. Okay, following me. Egypt will be old. And what is Egypt? Unbelief will be old. Glory to God. Unbelief will be old. Egypt will be old. So the land will be new. So the new day is not a recreation from Egypt. It's a new start away from Egypt. Hope you are seeing that. A new start away from Egypt. Call it a restart away from Egypt. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So when it says, very vital. So when it says, if any man be in Christ, the new creation, all things are passed away. If you look at it from the background, the old things will be Egypt. The old things will be Egypt, will be Pharaoh. it will be the horsemen that passed away. Isn't that? Hallelujah! That will be Egypt. All things that passed away. If you now read that scripture in context, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 from verse 15, he calls the flesh the old things that have passed away. You see that? The flesh is the old things that have passed away. Hallelujah. So the old things will be the flesh. So when it says, if any man be in Christ a new creation, it means a new birth. A new creation, a new birth in Christ. A new beginning in Christ. A new land in Christ. This is what salvation is. Where is the emphasis? In Christ. In the Spirit. Hallelujah. A new nation in the Spirit. A new kingdom in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now Mark will now say in Mark 16 from verse 15. He says, go therefore, preach the gospel. He that believe and is baptized shall be saved. He that believe not shall be damned. And this time shall follow them that believe in my name, will cast out devils. Say they will speak in new tongues. Hallelujah. Because it's a new kingdom, it's a new nation, that means they will have a new language. Do you see that? This is written for a new language. Amen? A new language. Hallelujah. Different from the language of the world. So what will be the program? Genesis chapter number 12. I mean Genesis chapter number 11. What will be the background? Isaiah. But we're going to deal with that as we get into CRC shortly. Hallelujah. So there will be a new tongue. A new tongue. A new language. Oh, hallelujah. And that will say with stammerings. New language. Why? Because it's a new kingdom. So, the new language, is it language in Christ? Is it the language, the new language in Christ?
Yes,
is it new language in the Spirit?
Yes,
exactly. New language in the land?
Yes,
in the kingdom? God's kingdom?
Yes,
hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Very vital. A new language. What other things do we have? We have a new temple. A new temple. So, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, from verse 14, he says, don't you know that your bodies are the temple of the living God? Your bodies are the temple of the living God. So that means, remember, when they left Egypt, in Egypt they had the temple of idol worship, right? They came to the land. What did they have in the land? They had the new temple. Moses' temple, which was a pointer towards the new temple. Hallelujah. Okay, follow me. What do we have in Moses' temple? God and man will be in the same place. Hope you're following me. So in the kingdom we'll have a new temple with our bodies. Hallelujah. And the new temple is for worship. I'm going to see that shortly. The new temple is for worship. If it is for worship, in the new temple that means we'll have a new worship. New temple in the Spirit, right? Right? Is it new worship in the Spirit? Hallelujah. Look at Philippians 3:3. Everybody? Philippians 3:3. Philippians 3:3. It says, we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit. We are the circumcision which worship God where? In the Spirit. Is that new worship?
Yes.
Oh yes, new worship. Hallelujah. So since we are new creation, with new identities in Christ, we have a new song. Hallelujah. We have a new song. So the new song now, so what is the new song? Does it have anything to do with recent song? Does that have anything to do with recent song? Is God nothing to do with whether the song is recent or not recent? It has nothing to do with recent song. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Rather, the new song will be songs of salvation. Right? Right?
Yes, sir.
Songs of our new identity. Is that it?
Yes,
is it songs in Christ?
Yes.
Is it song? I mean, songs in Christ, right? Is that songs in the nation?
Yes, sir.
Songs in the land?
Yes, sir.
Oh, hallelujah. So the new songs are songs of our victories in Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So what do we have at the background of this instruction? When you hear the new song,
We say, oh, how hard background will be the children of Israel. Hallelujah. Exodus chapter 14. As we begin to close. Exodus 14. Oh, I wanted to sing this song along with us. But we're going to look at it. I'm going to be fast. Exodus 14. Are you there? Are you awake? A few more minutes left. Exodus 14. On top of verse 29, he said, "But the children of Israel walked upon the dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them, on their right hand and on their left. And thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the land of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. And Israel saw the great works which the Lord did upon the Egyptians. And the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. Then sang Moses," did you see that? "As soon as there was victory, as soon as there was salvation, what did he do? He sang." Hallelujah. Glory to God. "And then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed graciously. The horse of the rider he hath thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him an habitation. My father God I will exalt him." Did you see that? "The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariot and his host has he cast into the sea. His chosen captains also has he drowned in the Red Sea. The death have covered them. They sank into the bottoms of the stones. Thy right hand, O God, has become glorious in power. The right hand, O God, has dashed in pieces the enemy. And in greatness of thy excellency, thou hast thrown them that goes up against thee. Thou sent forth thy wrath, which consumed them as stubborn." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. They sank into verse 19. Look at verse 19. They sank into verse 19. Hallelujah. Verse 19, it says, "For the horse of Pharaoh went in with his chariot and with the horsemen into the sea. And the Lord brought again the waters of the sea upon them. But the children of Israel went on dry ground in the midst of the sea. And Miriam the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took a timbrel in her hand. And all the women went out after her with timbrels and with dances." Did you see that? They had merits. Hallelujah. They were rejoicing. Glory to God. So, what did they think? That was songs of victory. Songs of what? Victory. That's what they sang. They songs of victory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So that means the new song, which is the song in the kingdom, the song in the land, are songs of our victories in Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're going to see something next week. It will be the songs of the scriptures. We're going to see that. Hallelujah. It will be songs of the scriptures. It will be the songs of God's message. It will be the songs of God's kingdom. Songs of the scriptures, songs of God's message, songs of the kingdom. Therefore, the new song is the message of the gospel, message of Christ in music. So, the new song is a song of the message of Christ's victory in the music. Hallelujah. 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 It is a song of God's victory in salvation. Look at the writer of, look at John in Revelation chapter 15. As we go. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Revelation 15, it says, "And I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them is filled up with the wrath of God. And I saw as it were a sea of glass mingled with fire, and they that have gotten the victory over the beast. So watch that. They that have gotten the victory over the beast and over this image and over his mark and over the number, I mean, and over the number of his name. Stand on the great, I mean, stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God. And they sang the song of Moses, the servant of God. Say the song of the Lamb. Do you see that? Do you see that? They sang the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou kings of the saints. Why do you think they are reading from? Look at Deuteronomy 32. Amen. Deuteronomy 32. Let's see that. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Deuteronomy 31 from verse 30. Look at this. And Moses spake. And Moses spake in the ears of all the congregation of Israel the words of this song until they were ended. Give ear, O heavens, and I will speak, and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. My doctrine shall drop as the rain, and my speech shall be still as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender head, and upon the shower, amen, and the showers upon the grass, because I will publish the name of the Lord. Ascribe his greatness unto our God. He is the rock. His work is perfect, for all his ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity. Just and right is he. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So it's a song about victory. How long that song has cried? Greatness to our Lord the Rock. His work is perfect, and all his ways are just. Ascribe all the goodness to our Lord the Rock. His word is perfect, and all his ways are just.